Good evening. Welcome to another episode of Deeper Into the Word, the house that Jesus built. It's great to have Pastor Trevor Ramsey join us. He was the president of the Baptist Association last year and pastor of the Baptist Church. He's going on to new pastures, and he talks about that during the interview. Well, it's great to have Trevor Ramsey join us this evening. Trevor is in the final few days of his presidential year in the Association of Baptist Churches in Ireland. So, Trevor, great to have you join us.
Yeah, thanks, Keith. Good to be with you.
And, Trevor, lots of people do know you or have heard you preach, but for those who don't, tell us a bit about yourself, tell us about your family, and tell us about your faith.
Yeah, thanks, Keith. I came to faith when I was 17 years of age, and I just literally started the first week in my upper sixth year at school, and I'd just been to church on that Sunday evening. In fact, I'd been attending a church for about 6 weeks. It was really the first time in my life I'd heard this life-changing message. And after the service, some young guys from the church were going out to preach in the open air, as you did in those days, and I went with them, and I was actually standing with these guys as they were preaching, and they didn't know that I wasn't a believer. But at the end of the meeting, I had to say, look, guys, I'm not a follower of Jesus, and I need to be converted. And one of them led me to faith in the back seat of his little blue mini car. So often if people hear me share my testimony, I've often talked about the little blue mini car. I have a photograph of it, actually, and it just provokes a conversation. But that's where I came to faith. When I very quickly after that, actually began to feel the sense of God calling me in the ministry. So when I was at university, I was trying to do everything I could to grow as a Christian, get really connected with the Christian Union. And then after left university, even in planning to get married to Sheila and in career, it was always with an eye of going in the ministry. So I wasn't really planning to leave uni and jump into a career that I would have for the next 40 years. It was with an idea of when would be the right moment to go for theological training. And that happened, and I was 25. I left my work, went into the college, and the Lord had really challenged me about the needs of Western Europe, about countries like France and Italy and Germany and Austria and Spain, countries like that, which really had not really been penetrated by the gospel, where churches were few and far between. And I suppose that was part of the reason why we ended up in Limerick in the Republic of Ireland, working with Baptist missions. Republic of Ireland in those days was very, very thin on the ground in terms of evangelical work. Churches were quite small, quite well spaced. Thank God it's transformed now, Keith. You know, here we are nearly 40 years later, and the Lord has done amazing things in the Republic of Ireland. So we served the Lord with Baptist missions for 8 years. We came back to Northern Ireland and did a church plant in Green Island, which is near Carrickfergus. Thank the Lord, that church has gone on from strength to strength. It's now Green Island Baptist Church. We were there for 14 years. And then for the last 10 and a half years, I've been serving the Lord as senior pastor here in Newton Breda Baptist Church in Belfast, and the last 12 months as president of our association. And during that time, we went through obviously a personal family tragedy. I think many people would know that. My wife Sheila was diagnosed with cancer. The Lord took her to be with himself. A very tough time for us as a family. I have four children, the youngest of whom is adopted. That's another story in itself, but we had been convicted and convinced of the work of fostering and adoption, and so we put ourselves forward as a family to do that. So when Sheila went to be with the Lord, Nathan was only 8 years of age at the time, and had to try to manage, you know, grieving myself, grieving with my children, grieving with our church, actually, and they were incredible help to us. And well, you know, to bring the story up to date, the Lord gave me Maggie. She's been married to me, obviously, for the last 10 years. We've enjoyed 10 years of happy marriage together. She's never been married before. So, you know, to marry a pastor, a father, and become a pastor's wife and all of that. When she'd never been married before, leaving behind her single life. But the Lord's been so gracious to us. I've got 5 grandchildren now. I've got 1 little granddaughter and 4 grandsons. They're a joy, really. But that's a little bit about my story.
Great job. Well, it's been great to hear just how God's used you throughout the years as well. And obviously, you're going to Benidorm to church plant or to be involved in an expat church there. Yeah. There's an opportunity to hear more about that at the Bangor Worldwide launch. So folks get signed up to hear.
Yeah, that's the next stage in our journey, Keith, and it's a completely different world, you know, in a way the Lord, I feel, has brought me back full circle to that early interest in the countries of Western Europe. So got an opportunity to pastor a small church in the notorious town of Benidorm in Spain, an expat church. And as you said, opportunity to hear about that at the Bangor Worldwide launch night.
Yeah, great, Trevor. As you look back in your presidential years, probably a presidential year like no other, yeah, due to the challenges and opportunities of COVID, of lockdown, as you've gone around the churches, as you've talked to pastors, what have you seen as some of the big challenges? And what have you seen also as the opportunities and the encouragements as well?
I think, Keith, that's a huge question, and in some ways, I think we probably won't be able to get definitive answers to that question for quite a few months until we're really out of this thing completely and we've had time to reflect properly and look back on it. But for me, I've seen opportunities with the online ministry in every church. One pastor actually said to me recently, he's had more applications for baptism and membership in the last 5 months than he's had in the previous 5 years. And that was just a statement he made in passing, but it stayed with me. I thought that was very powerful. We've seen people logging on, engaging with online ministry that obviously have not been part of our church congregations. And that's been a great encouragement. I think it's also been an encouragement just to hear how giving has kept up in most churches. Now, there may be exceptions to that, but in the experiences I've had, most churches have told me that folks have really responded well on online giving. And that might seem like an insignificant thing, but actually it puts the churches in a better place to move forward now, knowing that there's some financial stability in the churches. And I think the big challenge really has been for people who've just given up, you know, who have not engaged with the online, who have not found it themselves able to watch services online and be part of the local church, and just the breakdown of community. I think we underestimated perhaps that just the thousands of little conversations that take place in our gatherings on Sundays, you know, the little throwaway comment or the question to Sunday, how are you? How's your family? Praying for your mum. How's your dad doing? I've been thinking about him. I know you've got a job interview coming up. How's that going? You know, how's it getting on in work? How are the children? All those little things that we would just talk to each other about. I think we've missed that. And some people have missed that lot completely by not zooming in, by not engaging online. And that's been a huge challenge for folks. I think possibly I naively thought that when lockdown came and we put our services online, that everybody in our church would gather around their screen on a Sunday morning at 11 at the designated time and tune in to hear me preaching or whoever was preaching. And very quickly I realized that people weren't doing that. You know, they were saying, I'll watch it later or I'll catch it up during the week. And I think we just lost something from the community aspect of church. That's a huge challenge for us, actually.
I'm sure. I think that's very insightful and helpful. And just the impact of the small chat after church that lots of us nearly have despised in years gone past. Yeah. But actually, we've seen just a cumulative effect of just the chit-chat after church. And yeah, there's challenges. So as a church comes out of lockdown, hopefully, Trevor, for the last time,
What do you think the priorities are for local churches in their communities and with their congregations?
I'd say, first of all, for church leaders, the number one priority is really just to take stock of where we are and to sort of have a state of the church, you know, assessment, really. Business management technique talks about SWOT analysis, you know, what are our strengths now, what are weaknesses, what are opportunities, and what are our threats? I think the priority for me would always be evangelism. I think we need to take this moment, seize the moment, which is very, very significant, and go for it, and really, hopefully, you know, reach our communities in new ways. I think the way I would analyze it, Keith, is that as we come out of lockdown, some things will continue, some things will cease, and some things will change. And I think it's just the, you know, it responsibility on leaders is to decide where you put your church life in each of those three categories. What's going to continue, what's going to cease, and what's going to change? And no doubt things will cease. Maybe they've just run their course. The time has come just to let them quietly go. I think lots of things will change. I know, for example, in our church in Newton Breda, we're committed now to doing online prayer gatherings. They have been so blessed and so successful. Our numbers there have been higher than ever. For example, we have a monthly prayer meeting for our missionaries. And we always struggle to find a time in our church program which worked well for people. And so we used to do it for an hour before a Sunday evening service. And numbers were committed, but small. You know, we still do it an hour before the evening service, but we do it online. And the numbers have just tripled, really, for that. So why would we go back, you know, on that? That's given us a great opportunity, even to hear from missionaries in their various locations, rather than just reading out, you know, an old prayer letter. They're actually there on our screen in front of us. So we've learned that. So I think that will continue. I think some things will change and some things will cease.
That's very helpful, Trevor. To play devil's advocate somewhat, why don't we just go back to the way things were?
I don't think you can ever do that in life, really. You know, you don't do that in your own family life. You know, there comes a time when you get rid of your old washing machine. You know, it served you well. It's done its job. It's time to get a new one. You're not changing the washing routine, really, but you're just updating. And I think that in life in general is constantly changing. Our lives are constantly changing. And the truth about our church life is that we have eternal principles, and those principles never change. But the way we apply those principles has to be constantly changing in a changing culture. And that doesn't mean that we're abandoning the old paths or we're abandoning the old ways of doing things. It simply means we're hopefully following the Spirit of God as he's leading us to seize the opportunities for the new day. Our culture is changing. Our world is changing. Yes, we still want to, you know, hold on to the preaching of the word, which is fundamental, the worship of our God, the breaking of bread, baptism, et cetera, et cetera. But we want to say, how can we use language and how can we communicate this to a changed world? And that means inevitably that some things will change technologically. Maybe it'll change. Maybe structurally some things will have to change. But I hope no one listening to this is hearing me saying that we throw everything out. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that the principles are eternal. They're unchanging. We're totally committed to them. But we got to ask before the Lord in wisdom, how do we apply that in our day?
No, that's very helpful, Trevor. Thank you. And that's some of the things that we are trying to wade through and pray through at Hamlin Baptism. I'm sure other churches who are possibly listening are also asking some of those questions as well. What do you say to a church leader, an elder who's watching today, who's saying, yeah, I know we need to change, I know we need to revisit things, but this last year and a half has been brutal. I'm weary of talking to cameras, haven't had a holiday, congregation hasn't had a holiday, just feeling tired, heavy laden. And what would you say to a church leader as they anticipate a new day, sort of post-lockdown days?
Maybe a couple of things there. I think, first of all, don't beat yourself up. Don't feel guilty. This has been a brutal time. This has been a time like no other, a time that no amount of theological training or pastoral experience could prepare you for. So it is inevitable, given the fact that we are human beings. We're not human doings. We're human beings. It's inevitable that we will feel weary, that we'll feel down, that we may feel exhausted. We may not be able to see the way ahead. So don't beat yourself up on that one. Don't feel guilty on that. I think secondly, what I would say is, as we're coming towards the summer, do build in some proper rest time this summer. Don't feel that you have to come out of lockdown and run really fast immediately. I think a good rhythm would be to think about September, to think about the autumn, and to build your resources towards that time. I think that will be the time when we can really start to run fast. But you can't get there without, you know, garnering your resources to get ready for that. Was it Spurgeon who said, when you walk past a field and you see the farm laborer sitting in the corner of the field, you may be tempted to think that he's lazy, but actually he may just be sharpening his axe or sharpening his sickle, I think Spurgeon said. Just taking time out to sharpen the sickle so he could return to the field to start gathering in the harvest. And I think we need to do that. I think it has been hard for most people, and not for everybody, but for most church leaders, mentally, spiritually tired. And if we just jump straight in now and say, oh, great, lockdown's over, let's run fast, then we might just hit the wall a little bit, you know, a few months down the line. So let's be wise about that. Let's take some time. But also let's really plan well for the autumn and plan your church program well. Start those conversations now. Start that planning now. Galvanize your church for those months leading up to Christmas, maybe culminating in a great Christmas program as well. And let's set aside those 3 or 4 months from September to Christmas and go, these could be really significant months in the life of our church. So let's plan for that.
So what do you think the future of Sunday evening church is in Ireland?
Keith, I think for me, I come from Newton Breeder Baptist Church, and we've always had a very substantial Sunday evening service. And so we've been riding that wave for years with a lot of young adults. And so for us, it's never really been a question we've had to consider. I mean, Sunday evenings in Newton Breeder is very significant. And as we've come out of lockdown, we've actually had to put on 2 evening services. So now we've got a 5:15 service and a 7 p.m. service to accommodate that. So I'm aware that that's probably the exception. But I think for most churches, Sunday evenings are going to look different. They may not be physical gatherings, but there could be a lot of online teaching, opportunities for classes, maybe discipleship classes, evangelism classes, really that whole work of training in the work of the ministry. And I think, you know, what a wonderful picture that is of maybe a church at 7 o'clock or 7:30 on a Sunday evening, having 200 people engaged, you know, in 5 classes with 5 really competent teachers teaching 200 people. We're using breakout rooms and all that sort of thing. I think there's definitely a possibility for that. And also maybe to move our Sunday evening services for some churches out of our buildings, to maybe start renting a hotel room or a local cafe or coffee shop or something and do something significant.
That sounds very exciting, Trevor. And I think that's helpful for us. What would you say pastorally? You're a pastor, or you've just finished at Newton Bay the Baptist after 10 and a half years.
Yeah.
You know people in the congregation are where you know they haven't been watching, you know they haven't always logged on to Zoom, you know the impact that has. You know old habits have gone that were possibly good habits. And you probably know some people are saying, just not sure I'm going to bother with church now.
Yeah.
Might just go alone. What would you say to that person watching on this evening?
Yeah, I think about the words of the psalmist when he prayed, will thou not revive us again? And maybe that's a personal prayer that we all need to pray. You know, Lord, just revive my weary soul. The Lord is a gracious God. He doesn't beat us up because we're not in the right place. But he doesn't want to leave us in the right place either. He wants to encourage us. And so what I would say to the weary saints is, you know, pick up your Bible. Start with a short book of the Bible. Maybe the book of Philippians. It's four chapters. It's the book of joy. Paul uses the word rejoice over and over and over and over again in the book of Philippians. Maybe just read a book. It does our soul good to know that we've read a book from start to finish. You know, we feel we've got into a book. Maybe just draw up a little prayer grid, a little new prayer list of each day of the week, one or two things which are on your heart, which you want to bring to the Lord. Maybe if you've got an opportunity over the summer, read a Christian book that you've maybe had on your bookshelf for years and never had a chance to pick it up, and maybe just make that effort to pick it up and start to read it. Maybe also if you've got an opportunity to do an online course, this is another great thing as we've been in the pandemic, is that the plethora of online courses is just incredible. Maybe if you feel able to do that, you can do that for a couple of weeks. I'd say pick up the phone. You know, it does our souls good to minister to others. You know, so many people sit back in their homes and go, nobody phones me, nobody calls me, my church doesn't care. What it says, you take the initiative, you do that. You pick up the phone and phone somebody in your church and go, you know, I just wanted to chat just to see how you're doing. And this is how I'm doing. And maybe you build a whole new set of relationships through that. And what I would say is, do not give up. You know, the Hebrews warns us about that. You know, do not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. And that was a problem in the early church. It's a problem in the 21st century. I know the temptation to give up, say it's easier to sit at home with a cup of coffee. But get out to church. Go back to the gathering of God's people. Most churches now have gatherings. Don't be afraid. Just go. Leave the consequences with God. Trust the Lord to look after you. In actual fact, the statistics show that in your church service is probably the safest place to be. Your church leaders will look after you well. They'll maintain all the protocols. But just make that effort and just go. Even if it's initially you don't want to talk to anybody, just be there for the worship and for the live preaching, and the Lord will start to meet with you and revive your soul again.
Yeah, Trevor, I think that's so helpful, and certainly talking to people who have been hesitant about coming have come back, certainly having their own, just being amazed at the safety protocols in place, the ventilation, the social distancing, the one-way system, the shorter services. And people have commented, even some of the safest indoor places in the country are churches. And particularly now, if they've been vaccinated, you know, there's so many layers of precautions in there. But also, if people are feeling a bit fearful, do chat to us as well before coming, and if there's anything else that we can do, or to your own church leaders, if there's anything that we can do or they can do, I'm sure that they would do it.
Absolutely. You know, folks, you know, folks listening to me right now, you know, we have to get back. This is a biblical command. This is where the Lord wants us to be. And, you know, I've been in Tesco's loads of times, as I'm sure you guys have. And I'm probably more at risk in Tesco's, you know, people pausing to look at the beans and hanging over the freezers and all sorts of things than I ever would be in my local church. So, yeah, I mean, I'm passionate about that. And I think that the enemy would want to keep us in our corners. He'd want to keep us isolated. He'd want to keep us sitting at home. We've had to do that for so long. It's been necessary. But if the opportunity arises, please, please do get back to your local church and get back to public worship.
Trevor, it's been great to chat. As we sort of draw the conversation to a close, what excites you about the future of the church in Ireland or even across sort of Western Europe? Because obviously, you go to the Benidorm.
Yeah.
What causes you to want to continue in pastoral work? What gets you out of bed in the mornings now?
Do you know, I just think if you believe the gospel, you believe it is good news, and it's still good news, and it's as relevant now as it's ever been. In fact, we don't have to make the gospel relevant. We just have to declare it. We're told to, you know, that Greek word is caruso, to herald the gospel, to bring the good news, to be hope bringers in a hopeless world. And I think this is a significant moment. It's a significant moment for us in Ireland. I think it's a significant cultural moment with the challenges we're facing and the pressure we're under culturally to keep quiet about our Orthodox Christian faith. I think it's a key moment politically across the world. When you think about Brexit, when you think about some of the turmoil that's going on in the United States over the last number of years, I think that even in our own island, there's political turmoil, uncertainty with regards to the future. So I think it's a key moment culturally. I think it's a key moment politically. I think it's a key moment spiritually. How are we going to be as churches emerging from this? We're all a little bit scarred. We're all a little bit bruised. But let us not grow weary in doing good. And do not give the enemy a foothold, because he is aware of the significance of this moment. You know, the Bible uses the word kairos to mean a definitive moment. This is a kairos moment for us. But I am so excited, and I've been so encouraged just to see how churches have been flexible, adaptable, have been going on with the work, reaching out to people, pastorally caring for people, doing all that we're supposed to do. So, listen, the gospel is still a part of God unto salvation, as Paul says in Romans chapter 1. And this is a significant moment. So I would encourage all of our churches and all of our leaders to, you know, carpe diem, seize the day, and make the most of the opportunities that are coming our way.
Trevor, it's been so good to chat, and thank you for your insight. Thank you for your presidential year. And God bless you as you go and as you plan for the move to Benidorm, and would he just bless the work of your and Maggie's hands there. So God bless you.
Thank you, Keith. God bless you all. Thanks.
Well, can I thank you all for tuning in? Can I thank Pastor Trevor Ramsey for all that he has shared this evening? Continue to check out our series on the mornings and Sunday evenings on the House Jesus Built, as we continue to work out what it is to be the local church here and wherever you are. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Deeper Into the Word. We hope and pray it has been a blessing to you. To access more teaching from Hamilton Road Baptist, please visit our Facebook page and YouTube at Hamilton Road Baptist.